I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
MSW Media. Hey everybody, it's AG and welcome to Refried Beans, where we play an episode of the Daily Beans podcast from the same week, either 1, 2, or 3 years ago, so we can see how far we've come. So please enjoy this episode from days gone by and note the date in the intro.
Refried beans. I like refried beans. That's why I want to try fried beans, because maybe they're just as good and we're wasting time.
We're swearing. Daily Beans.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. Today, the Brooklyn Center officer who fatally shot Dante Wright resigns, as does the police chief. The NCAA backs transgender athletes. Matt Gaetz is now connected to another shill candidate scheme in Florida. More messages from Joel Greenberg. The former guy has a new excuse for why he can't hand over his tax returns to Congress. And Biden will nominate the first woman as Secretary of the Army. I'm AG.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Hey, Dana, how's it going?
Hey, G, I'm doing well. Yes, I'm excited about this episode because you'll tell the people, but it's just a great episode.
I am about to tell the people. What a fun thing. We got to interview Maria Bamford for this episode because she has a live stream show she's putting out this Saturday, April 17th at 8 p.m. Pacific. You have to go to it virtually, right? It's a virtual thing. And all the information about how you can get tickets, she even gives you information about how you can go for free.
Yeah.
Is going to be later on in the show. And she's just so funny.
She really is. She is like no one other in this industry. And she's just brilliantly funny.
Yes. She's just such a gem.
She's just a gem. She really is.
Everybody who comes in contact with her absolutely falls in love with her. And so will you. We do have a lot of headlines to get to, though, today. So let's do that. Let's hit the hot notes. Hot notes. The lead story today, the 26-year veteran police officer in Brooklyn Center, 26-year veteran police officer who fatally shot Dante Wright, the 20-year-old unarmed black man, has resigned, quote, in the best interest of the community, unquote. Her name is Kim Potter. She's 48. She tendered her resignation Tuesday in a brief letter to Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott and Police Chief Tim Gannon. Gannon followed suit, announcing his own resignation later that day, which was today. Potter is a veteran, as I said, and has served as her police union's president, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. Potter had been suspended pending the results of a Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension investigation. On Monday, Brooklyn Center leaders dismissed the city manager, potentially giving Mayor Mike Elliott the ability to fire the chief or officers in the department. According to local media, Potter has retained attorney Earl Gray. Gray is also representing former Minneapolis police officer Thomas Lane, who has been charged with the murder of George Floyd. She's been involved in the Potter, this veteran police officer, has been involved in one fatal police shooting in the past. In 2019, Potter was among the first to arrive at a home in Minneapolis in a suburb after two officers fatally shot a mentally ill man 6 times after he allegedly lunged at them with a knife, according to a report released by the Hennepin County Attorney's Office last year. Once paramedics arrived, Potter ordered both of the officers to leave the house, sit in separate squad cars, and deactivate their body cams. As the union president at the time, she escorted one of the officers from the scene back to the police station and was later present when BCA investigators interviewed both officers. The officers were not charged in the fatal shooting after prosecutors found they acted with reasonable fear after first firing their tasers. So she's got a history.
She does indeed. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with that case. And it is also interesting that the chief decided to also resign. I just find it very interesting.
And that she hired one of the attorneys that's representing one of the officers in the Derek Chauvin George Floyd case. Yeah.
And as a comedian, and just a small note, I know it's not a funny, but if your last name is Gray, do not name your first name Earl. Like, just don't name your kid Earl Gray. Anyway, that was just for all you tea lovers out there. Now, this next story, this is the NCAA. Now, that for those of you, I'm sure a lot of you know this, the NCAA regulates college athletics in the U.S. So they backed the transgender athletes Monday, saying it won't hold championship events in locations that aren't, quote, free of discrimination. Now, as Republicans in more than two dozen states target transgender athletes, the NCAA Board of Governors said, quote, it firmly and unequivocally supports the opportunity for transgender student athletes to compete in college sports. It says it's, quote, more inclusive policy for transgender athletes, which requires testosterone suppression treatment for transgender women to compete in women's sports, means, quote, inclusion and fairness can coexist for all student athletes, including transgender athletes at all levels of sport. Now, the board said it would monitor situations regarding trans athletes' participation without specifically mentioning states that have banned it or are considering bans. It did say the environment could affect the locations of championship games. This is really very important because one of the biggest arguments they're talking about, you know, and these morons, and I'll say that because I was on the House the first time the Equality Act passed a few years ago. You know, the big argument from a lot of the legislators in the South was testosterone. These trans women, because they can't just call them women, have higher levels of testosterone. Well, they have testosterone blockers. There is a certain amount of years you actually do have to have testosterone blockers. And to use that as an argument is actually, it's not based in science and it's not valid. But that is a good step forward that the NCAA did. So I like seeing that.
Yeah, and me too. And I was actually kind of surprised. I didn't think that the NCAA would make this move. They didn't always strike me as fair to their student athletes. So
agreed.
So I was happily surprised with this announcement. And Dana, do you remember that shill candidate named Rodriguez who had the same last name as the Democratic candidate Rodriguez running in Florida?
Yes, of course.
And then the Democrat lost by fewer than 40 votes. And then Artiles and the shill candidate Rodriguez were indicted, but not for the shill candidate scheme. That's totally legal in Florida.
Right.
They violated FEC rules when they were paid $50,000 to run as ghost candidates. Or particularly, Rodriguez was paid to run as a ghost candidate. They were indicted for violating campaign finance laws. Then we learned Matt Gaetz and Joel Greenberg were involved in another shill candidate named Daniel Day, who changed his name to Danny Mora Day to run against Lynn Moira Dichter, and then mysteriously dropped out the same time Greenberg dropped out of his race because he was going to be indicted. Remember those guys?
Oh, I do. Quite clearly, they're a bunch of knuckleheads.
And I thought for sure there were two other shill candidate races in Florida that did the same thing, ran the same trick, and I thought for sure all these things had to be connected. Well, beans come true. A clear money trail connects ghost candidates in the Central Florida State Senate race last November with the other two South Florida shill candidates who were subjects of a local 10 News investigation uncovered last fall. The scheme to plant that Central Florida candidate has now been linked to Congressman Matt Gaetz, according to the New York Times. And that's a report detailing a federal investigation into sex trafficking allegations. The alleged planted candidate in Central Florida's District 9 state Senate race is Justine Lanotti, whose financial support from a political action committee shows identical patterns to that of the two shill candidates, Alex Rodriguez, who ran in Miami Senate District 37, and Celso Alfonso, who ran in District 39. Rodriguez has since been criminally charged, as I said, as has resigned Florida Senator Frank Artiles, both with campaign finance crimes. Bogus campaign records for both shill candidates were retrieved from Artiles' home in a raid last month. The Florida Division of Elections campaign finance database shows clear financial connections between them and Lanotti, the third shill candidate, now tied to Matt Gaetz by the New York Times. It starts with two political action committees that were opened the very same day, October 2nd. Our Florida PAC, backed by South Florida candidates Rodriguez and Alfonso, and the Truth PAC for Central Florida. That candidate was Lanotti. The next day, both PACs reported their one and only contribution, an untraceable Atlanta company Proclivity that would suddenly change in the records to the also untraceable Denver company Grow United. 2 days after that, on October 5th, both PACs made their one and only expenditure, the combined $500,000, to a printer company called Advance Impression. The resulting campaign flyers looked identical in graphics, but for the three candidates' names, making the no-party candidates appealing to Democratic voters, that they the ones they were meant to confuse. This was what Robert Denault and I were discussing. And further, Greenberg reached out to mutual friends on August 14th of last year and tried to enlist them in his defense, according to WhatsApp chat logs shared with federal investigators and obtained by Politico. Can't use the WhatsApp, fellas. He fumed that the prosecutor should be fired. He suspected that a political consultant was a rat. He fretted that investigators had combed through his Venmo Cash App history, fearing it led them to the former teen at the center of the case. Greenberg also said he was paying the legal fees for the woman, who is now 20 years old. Greenberg went so far as to push Gates to use his influence with Trump for a pardon. That's according to two sources familiar with the discussions, including one who heard Greenberg say it repeatedly. In the August 14th WhatsApp chat with a politically influential Republican mutual friend of Gates and Greenberg, Roger Stone. Sorry, that's just a guess.
Did you get that? I think there's something in your throat, AG.
Sorry, it's popcorn kernel.
Okay,
my bad.
Okay.
But in that August 14th WhatsApp chat with this politically influential Republican mutual friend of Gates and Greenberg, Greenberg initially referred to the young woman as Vintage 99. That is a fine wine reference to her birth year.
Oh, good
that
Lord.
She used as her online name on Seeking Arrangement, which is that dating website that connects women with sugar daddies. And he says, quote, "I'm going to have to pay for Vintage 99 to retain a lawyer," Greenberg wrote in a WhatsApp chat to the friend who discussed the messages with Politico on the condition of anonymity. Oh, the friend. Oh, mm-hmm. So Politico knows who it is, unless this is a fourth party. Quote, "They," the federal agents, "contacted her and are wanting her to talk. She doesn't want to talk to them." So that's what's going on over there in Gatesville.
It is unbelievable how deep this goes. He is in so much trouble. Oh, it does bring me a tremendous amount of joy.
Yeah.
So does this last story. I really do love seeing this. President Joe Biden has picked Christine Warmoth to be the next Secretary of the Army.
Woo-hoo.
The White House announced Monday, making her the first woman to hold the position if confirmed by the Senate. Now, as a former Undersecretary of the Defense for Policy, Christine advanced the department's counter-ISIS campaign and the rebalance to Asia. And her deep expertise will be critical in addressing and determining today's global threats, including the pacing challenge from China and nation-state threats emanating from Russia, Iran, and North Korea. That's from the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. It's from a statement.
Yeah, and that's going to be really important here in a minute, because I know that they are now drawing down troops out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Biden has kept his promise to remove those troops. And we've got a little tension over between Taiwan and China. And then, of course, we know Russia is starting to put troops up near the border of Crimea. So we've got a lot going on that the Secretary of the Army is going to have to be dealing with. So it's wonderful that she has all of this important counter-ISIS experience, rebalancing Asia experience. So this is an incredible nomination.
100%. 100% agree. Austin actually continues, said that he has no doubt that Warmoth will lead our soldiers and represent their families with honor and integrity. And that's if, of course, she's confirmed by the Senate. Before serving as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy during the Obama administration, Warmoth worked as the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Strategy, Plans, and Force Development. Now, before that, she had a stint with the National Security Council. Warmoth is a senior fellow at RAND Corporation, where she serves as director of the group's International Security and Defense Policy Center. She is just a badass.
Yeah.
The administration also announced two other key positions on Monday. AG, Susanna Bloom has been picked as the department's director of cost assessment and program evaluation, and Gil Cisneros has been chosen for Undersecretary of Defense Personnel and Readiness. So we've got more great picks by this administration, keeping their promise of diversity.
Yes, absolutely wonderful. And the one office I visited in the Pentagon was the office of the Secretary of the Army. And you'll remember, do you remember Manafort bribed that guy named Kok? Kok gave him a loan for like $14 million
yes.
and then asked if he could be Secretary of the Army.
Yep.
So we've come a long way.
We have indeed.
We've come a long way.
Am I allowed to say we've gone from Kok to... No? Okay.
Yeah, going to say we've gone from Koks to Warmoth. If you want to just be a you know, totally correct about it. Now, the former guy continues to refuse to hand over his tax returns, even though everyone and their mother has them by now. But Trump said a New York law enabling Congress to ask for his state tax returns no longer applies to him because he's not president. So before it was, you can't have my taxes because I am president. Now it's, you can't have my taxes because I'm not. This law, known as the Trust Act, allows the state to share the president's tax information when a congressional committee asks for it. Trump sued the House Ways and Means Committee to block it from requesting the information. The filing, however, is an admission that he is no longer the president.
If that is not written as a Saturday Night Live weekend update, I don't know what is. Well done.
Thank you very much. I'm going to tag Colin Jost. Anyway, Data, if you want, like everyone, that was relatively funny, but just wait until after this quick break because Dana and I will be back with Maria Bamford. You do not want to miss it, so stay with us.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Everybody, welcome back. I am so excited and happy to announce this next guest. She is a prolific comedian. She does personal experimental comedy. She is the star of the Netflix series, you'll remember, Lady Dynamite, such an amazing show, and the first female comic to have 2 half-hour specials on Comedy Central Presents. Please welcome Maria Bamford. Maria, hello.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on the program. I love it. I mean... I don't mean to celebrate COVID, but I do love this age of Zoom where there's no driving, there's no, and I can just see new people and have the same interview experience that I might have to drive an hour for in regular time. So thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 hours down to San Diego if you're up in LA.
Oh my God.
It's gotten gross. And of course, Dana Goldberg is here. Hello, Dana.
It's always a pleasure to be in sitting down on this with one of my favorite comedians, Maria Bamford. If you have anything to do with comedy, you know that she has been hot on the scene for years and does what you do better than anyone else because you do something that no one else does. And it's brilliant.
Well, it's not clear what it is. And the most important thing is whatever you're doing, just call it stand-up comedy. And then that really, that's the pitch.
Yeah. So what we do a little backwards here. We are comedians that do news, and therefore the pressure's off to be funny.
Oh, my. That's the thing. You got to find your cozy spot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your weighted blanket. And I love it. I've been doing Twitter. I tweet out and I say, hey, will anybody do a one-on-one show with me? So I do a show to somebody one-on-one over Zoom. And they've already agreed to it publicly that they will enjoy the show. at any time, they could mute me. I could mute them. Everyone's equally empowered. And then I get to a full hour at around 11 a.m. And anyways, there's so many good things about technology that I just want to celebrate. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm suddenly
celebrating technology. Well, I think we can all agree that technology, it's much easier to do a 1 hour Zoom show at 11 a.m. than it is to, God forbid, have to perform live and anywhere at 11 a.m.
Oh, my
while
God.
It's light out.
And I have done a show as early as 8:30 a.m.
Really?
I was on a cruise. Yeah, I was on a cruise ship, and it was a cruise for people who enjoy board games and live action role play. So it was a different crowd.
Yeah, I was going to say if it's like a cruise ship where everyone's a party animal and they're all coming down off acid, that makes an 8:30 a.m. show a little different, you know.
Well, and it was mostly mothers with their infants who came to the 8:30 a.m. show. They're like, I have nowhere to go, and but I have done an 8:30 a.m. show. It's not my favorite, but I will do it because I am needy.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dana. It's like when the light is still out. In fact, when daylight savings time drops, I'm always like, all right, okay, but now the whole show is shifting back an hour, right, too, because yeah. I don't want to show up. And then you're drawing curtains in the club and trying to make it seem dark. I don't know.
Yeah, covering the windows with either black paper or tinfoil, and then we're in a meth lab. None of it's going well.
That's true. Yeah.
Then it's a paranoia thing.
Yeah.
And speaking of live streams, the reason you're here today is we're going to talk about what you're doing on April 17th at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Tell us about this live stream.
Well, what's going to happen is I'm going to do the full hour of stand-up that I have been doing on Zoom for the past pandemic months. And then two other comics will go up, Madison Shepherd, Gary Peterson. And then I will read a non-copyrighted bedtime story, take my meds, have a snack, and then fall asleep for 8 hours. Nothing's going to happen except me being asleep for 8 hours. Now, I do have night terrors, so that might be something you could look forward to. But the only thing that for sure will happen is I'll wake up to an alarm, I'll drink a Diet Coke and a scoop of peanut butter, and I'll be over. And the idea was, is I thought, what's the least I could do for homelessness? And turns out, fall asleep. And I thought, also, there's like, isn't much mental health care up there. I was like, well, maybe it might be something nice to have on if you can't sleep at night. I just thought it might be a nice idea. It could be terrible. In which case, if you don't have the money, $10, please email me at ariamayamfordbay@gmail.com. That's my Pig Latin name, @gmail.com. And I will just give you the code for free it's tough times. Nobody has money. Or if you just are resentful from the get and you don't even want to pay, I will send you that code.
I will tell you what, AG, I don't know if you've done this. So over the course of COVID, there are these live feeds where you can watch like the bald eagles and Big Bear because they have eggs, or you can watch the otters and wherever. So there is no reason people that either have insomnia or maybe in London or a different country would not enjoy this live feed of you sleeping. I've seen less exciting things watching two bald eagles sit on an egg.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like it's a cross between a nature show. Like maybe could you get Attenborough to sort of narrate your sleep patterns? And then like a sleep study. Like I used to work at the Department of Veterans Affairs and people would come in and sleep in a lab and have cameras on them. So I think that there are so many educational opportunities wrapped up in this, and it's raising money for a good cause.
Okay, see, this is the kind of production value that when I'm alone, you know, I don't think if I outsourced it, if I group got some other people involved, that would be great because that sounds wonderful. So far, my plan is for those who can't sleep, I'm just going to play episode after episode of a Canadian reality show called Till Death Do Us Part. It stars Gail Vaz-Oxlade, who has a Jamaican Canadian accent that I can't seem to mimic. It's so good. There's 7 seasons. She gets a couple who's having financial problems and puts them on a cash basis, gives them 5 jelly jam jars, just glass jars, fills them up with cash. They have to live on that for a month. So good. And Canadian. Did I mention it was Canadian? Anyway, so I could put that on all night because I'll be out like a light. I'm on antipsychotics, so it doesn't matter what's on. I will not be there for it.
You could put on curling. Curling helps people sleep.
Curling. Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, yeah, because it doesn't really make a noise even when they hit the stone.
It's just like very softly pushing a giant heavy teapot on the ice and then someone very OCD with the broom going, it's not clean enough yet. It's not clean enough. Just sweeping behind it, getting it to go faster.
Okay. That's an awesome idea. And it would just be me. My husband, he's going to make a small visit with the dogs and then he's going to do something because we don't want our dogs to feel, they're older and I just don't want to feel like they have to be in show business.
I know that feeling. Because it's like a child actors thing, but for pets. I had a cat in a sink on an episode of what the frick show was I on HGTV? The one where you buy a house and then
House Hunters?
Yeah, House Hunters. Oh. And my cat ended up on screen and now his head is huge and he thinks his name is Bruce Willis now and he just thinks he's God's gift. And so I totally feel that kind of wanting to keep the pets out of it. You know, it's for their own mental health.
Well, yeah. Cause all of a sudden it's like, oh, what else can the cat do? No.
Yeah.
We'd really like to see the cat in a... No! Get out of here, you creeps.
I need a script. Can you write a script?
Yeah. We're not... Oh, my God. I had a quintessential Los Angeles experience. I used to have a very old pug named Blossom. And we went to a dog park where there was a dog fair of some kind going on. One of the booths was a dog agent. And I said to myself, I have a beautiful older pug here. I brought it to the dog agent. She said, we don't really work with a lot of older dogs. Maybe if she got headshots. And then she looked to my friend's dogs, who were puppies, mutts, and said, are they interested?
Yeah, ageism in the industry is everywhere.
Right in front of her, too.
Yeah, and isn't that how it goes? It's always like the person who's not. It's just my friend Marquetta was just like, I don't want a dog agent. I was like, but I do. I want a dog agent. Anyways, you were on House Hunters?
A couple of times, yeah. The initial one where I bought the house, and then they had a Where Are They Now? I'm like still in the same house. But like if you do remodel or anything like that. And one of my selling points was I had to have two sinks in the master because my cat likes to sleep in one of them. And they got a shot of it, and ever since he's just been like, he needs a driver now. He's very.
What was it like being on House Hunters? Like I always, I do watch those HGTV shows whenever I'm in a hotel.
Well, they had to give me, and I'm sure that anyone who's watched the show is like, why the fuck are you complaining about purple paint? You can change it. Why are you complaining about the lamps? Those don't come with the house.
Yeah.
They actually force you to find things that you don't like about the house that you didn't buy, because they come in after you buy the house, right? And then they make it look like you're just about to buy it. And so they're like, well, why don't you say something about, the paint on the wall, the wallpaper? I'm like, I would never say anything like that. And they're like, yeah, but you have to find reasons to hate it.
I know. Isn't that? And I thought that was true because I was like, nobody's such an asshole. They're going to go, oh, I'm moving to Amsterdam and I only have $3,000 a month to spend. I don't like this view.
Like, that voice.
Yeah.
That voice.
Like, no one's going to say that. So, okay, that's good to know that they are trying to feed you some negativity because you're not like that.
Wonderful people, though. Wonderful production company. Excellent channel. Very kind. Very kind people.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it.
But we're not here.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
To talk about the HGTV shenanigans of AG.
Yes.
Now, tell me about this charity, the LA Downtown Women's Center.
Well, the Los Angeles Downtown Women's Center, have you ever been? It is like an HGTV experience in that it is beautifully decorated, beautifully designed. It's a really safe space for women who are looking for all sorts of services. They serve hundreds of thousands of meals, but then they also have healthcare. They have job training. They also have small business opportunities. There's a business they have called Made, and it's all products made by women who are involved in the nonprofit, and so like soaps and cool candles and perfumes and stuff like that. It's just it's wonderful. I volunteered there myself, and I'm incompetent, so I don't even want to know what they felt about my reception skills, but. It was just like, and I've been close to homelessness before, of course. I am a comedian and I live in Los Angeles. So it's the kind of place I go, that's where I would love to go, you know, to feel very welcome, very safe and connected. So it's just a wonderful place, and they just keep developing permanent housing for women in the Skid Row neighborhood of downtown. So it's just, I can't say enough.
That's wonderful.
Ah, it's amazing. I wonder if they would accept any donations of like business lady outfits for maybe people who need to go on interviews.
Yes.
Because I just had couriered over to me from my old office where I was fired.
Yes.
And now it's all strictly yoga pants and soft bras and things, but now I have all of these business lady specials, all of these outfits that I do not need anymore, thank the Lord, that might be helpful to someone else.
They totally have a store that isn't open now because of COVID restrictions, but is all clothing and you know, gently used items that are, you know, not only can be used by the women or also purchased by any person who's hanging out there who gets into the store. I know they're closed now, but just because of COVID, but that is a wonderful idea, and I encourage you.
Thank you. Now, you also have a recurring role on season 2 of Freeform's Everything's Gonna Be Okay. Can you talk about that?
Well, I play a mother, and it seems an uptight, kind of stressed out mother. Wait a minute, is this typecasting? And my daughter is a lovely, she plays someone who has autism, and she does have autism in real life. And she plays the girlfriend of another main character who also has autism on the show and in real life. And it's just a sweet show. It was written by and produced by Josh Thomas. He's an Australian comedian who I met at a festival in Australia. And he also did a very popular and well-reviewed show called Please Like Me that starred Hannah Gadsby. That was a great show. So now this is the second season, and my husband is Richard Kind, and it is ridiculous.
That sounds amazing.
It does.
I encourage everybody to check that out. And before we let you go, Maria, tell everyone again where they can get tickets to this event and where they could find and follow you on social media.
RushTix.com. So Rush, proper spelling, R-U-S-H, Tix, T-I-X, non-proper spelling, .com. And, or you can email me, ariamayamfordbay@gmail.com. I'll give you the free code. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, Maria Bamfu, at Maria Bamfu, F-O-O. And I will, I often will ask people if they want to have a free show, and then I send you a t-shirt in payment for your time. An American-made, union-made t-shirt. It's American-made, so it runs a little big, as my friend Jackie Cation would say.
I love Jackie.
Yeah. Oh.
So good.
She is my mentor. And she's amazing. And I may get to have coffee with her later today. She's also doing a show on Rush Tix on Friday, which is it's a late night show. And anyway, she's magnificent and amazing. And there it is.
Wonderful. I'm definitely going to sign up on the list for this one-on-one show. I need the shirt now that I'm getting rid of all my business lady outfits. But thank you so much. This is Saturday, April 17th, 8 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be absolutely amazing, and everything goes to a good cause, and you have all the info. So I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. And, happy Ramadan. Ramadan starts today. So stop eating, or whatever it is we're supposed to do. I can't remember.
It's good to see you.
Okay. Okay.
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much, Maria Bamford.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Everybody stay with us. We'll be right back with the good news. Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news.
Good news, everyone.
I cannot wait to watch Maria Bamford sleep.
I know, me too. I mean, I don't like that she has to go through this, but I mean, I wouldn't mind a night terror. Who has ever seen one of those unrecorded viral stream? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and just get there, and you can do the David Attenborough part yourself if you want to, you know, give commentary to it. Anyway, it's going to be wonderful. Such an important cause, such a good cause. And we thank her. Now, we have a listener submitted good news, confessions, corrections, all the games we play. We just aren't playing Monopoly. Every other game we're playing, so it's just not Monopoly. So if you have anything like that that you want to send to us, you can do that at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. First up, from Anonymous, no pronouns given, guess the mutt. Here's a picture of Muppet.
I really feel like we might actually get this one. So
I owe it for some good news a while ago. Now, you and I have personal experience with one of the mixes of this breed, I believe.
We do. I agree with you. Stephanie Miller has a collection of these. And are they Bernese Mountain Dogs? Is that what they're called?
Great Pyrenees.
Great Pyrenees. Gotta get those confused. Okay, so Great Pyrenees. I see Chow.
Ooh, yeah, because of the fluffy ear thing that's happening, like the poof.
The fluffy ear, but also the coat.
Yeah, I see a little golden. Chow?
Is there a shepherd?
Golden or lab?
Is a snout a shepherd?
Or one of those curs. Remember how Old Yeller wasn't a lab? It was a cur, a black-mouthed cur?
I do not, but thank you for telling me that just now.
I just learned.
Okay.
And so now I just wanted to use that knowledge, and that's kind of what I see. So, all right, so let's go down and see what we got here. Great Pyrenees, German Shepherd, Chow, look at you.
Oh, 1%. I got the 1%.
Look at
that'll
you.
Never, this is the only time in my life I'm part of the 1%.
And you also said German Shepherd, didn't you? You said the nose looks like a German Shepherd and Great Pyrenees.
The snout. I think we got a dog right.
So no golden, no curve, but you got it. I think that's our first 100% correct What the Mutt.
That's amazing. Just mark this down. April 14th. Boom.
That is beautiful.
All right. I shall take the next one.
Yeah.
This is from AM, no pronouns given. Hello, Beans Babes. I'm writing with an update on my pandemic baby, now 8 months old. We're a blended family with my wonderful 3-year-old stepson who adores his little sister. And he's the center of her universe and no one else matters if he's in the room. It's absolutely the best.
Aww.
I've been listening to Muller, She Wrote, since practically the beginning and happily transitioning to the Daily Beans. AG's voice is that of an old friend at this point. Since my girl was born last August, I've had my morning routine include listening to the Daily Beans as I change her and we start our day. Now, yesterday morning, a Monday, I went in to get her once she woke up and put on this, you know, put this pod like I normally do. I put on the pod. This little monster broke into a huge smile and started laughing. Now, I couldn't hear AG and DG over her giggle, so I paused till my baby calmed down. She immediately stopped laughing and went back to her serious little Inspector Crusoe self-looking at her hands. I pressed play again. Peals of laughter ensued, and I realized that just like her mama, AG and DG's voices have become regular parts of my daughter's little life, and it just made me so happy.
Oh my God.
She did the same thing again this morning. It made me realize I had to tell you about this phenomenon. Oh, thank you.
I need a video of this. I need a video of
I
this.
I would love that. Oh my God, seriously. Oh, also, we've got a misheard lyric for you. Bowling, bowling, bowling on a river. Oh my God. In Proud Mary, stage misheard until a random episode of Glee. I think I was 25 and I just learned, how wrong I was. Oh my God. Bowling, bowling, bowling on a river.
Bowling.
All right. Pod Pet Tax, the adorable pupper, Etta, and her unsuspecting girl. Thank you for everything. Every day you keep us sane in trying times. Look at the
is
baby.
This the baby we make laugh every day?
I know it is.
Oh, it gets better. Oh,
puppy kisses.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you so much for that.
Okay, so Dana, talk with me. Just start talking. Just like start saying stuff while I'm talking.
Absolutely.
Just keep talking.
Just the two of us.
We're just
our
talking
voices,
and then stop.
See if she's laughing.
Okay, and now we're back.
And
is
then
she
now
laughing
the
again?
Puppy look in her face. Look how cute look in her face.
Oh, that's so great. How beautiful. What an adorable baby. Her.
I know, seriously.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. All right, next up from Byron, pronouns he and him. Hello, friends. I hope you don't mind me thinking of you as my friends. I do not, Byron. You're a very important part of my day every day, and I love what you do. Well, thank you. I have a case of misheard lyrics, but this isn't a theme song to a television show. A couple of years ago, a local television station started showing the original Flintstones episodes. Since I grew up in the 60s, cartoons like that are a big part of my childhood memories, so I decided to watch a few episodes, and of course, when I had that song stuck in my head. A question from 50-plus years ago came back to me. Who the hell is Davy Crack? So the first part of the song they play... someday Davy Crack will win the fight, then that cat will stay out for the night. That's, by the way, he says he could never make out the end of the line, but it's the cat will stay out for the night. It always seemed to me that if Davy Crack was important enough to mention in a theme song, I should have seen him in at least one of the episodes. Was he a prehistoric boxer, wrestler, or one of those guys with clubs who took turns hitting each other on the top of the head? And I realized, hey, I have one of these newfangled interweb machines. I can look this up. So I found the lyrics, realized I've been hearing it wrong all these years. The actual line is, someday, maybe Fred that will win the fight. Then that cat will stay out for the night. Hey, makes perfect sense, since that's what's happening while they're singing it.
Hilarious.
I can finally stop wondering about Davy Crack. But I still can't figure out how I heard Davy Crack when it was maybe Fred.
Oh, my God.
As I read through the rest of the lyrics, I realized I heard another line wrong. At the opening of the show, when the Flintstones and the Rubbles are in the car going to the drive-in theater, the song says, let's ride with the family down the street through the courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. That makes perfect sense, but my young mind must have been having more mature thoughts because I heard, let's ride with the family down the street through the curve to see a French movie. Ooh la la. Sorry, I don't have a contribution for pet tax at this time due to my no pets allowed apartment, but hopefully that may change soon. Please keep up the good work. You are all doing an amazing job. Thanks. Thank you so much,
I love that whole story. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I love it. All right, this next one's from Anonymous. Pronouns they, them. I love the way you treated the story of Barry Weisselberg and Woman Rink with the ridicule it deserves, but hearing you wonder if it's a roller rink or ice rink made me realize I need to tell you some of its history.
Ooh.
Woman Rink is a public ice skating rink owned by the New York City, which I actually thought because it's only open from like October to April. Anyway, it was built in 1950, financed by Kate Woman, the great aunt of Henry and Richard Block, H&R Block fame. By 1980, it was in terrible condition and desperately needed repair. The city had gone through a devastating financial crisis and was failing spectacularly at getting the refurbishment done. Now, the former guy managed to get permission to do the repairs. Then it got done in 4 months instead of six, at, of course, 75% of the proposed budget. He also set a world record for unnecessary press conferences during construction. In return for doing this for the city, he got the contract to run the rink and a nearby restaurant. It may have been the last competent thing the former guy ever did, though, come to think of it. Fred was still alive then and probably did all of the actual work.
Uh-huh.
Or at least, at least his people did the work, leaving poor Donald to struggle, having to take credit for the efforts of others. And since he had to donate the profits to charity, according to this contract, I think that at least partly explains why he was so generous to Barry. It's not like he was taking money out of his own pocket, just the charities. They run a carnival there during the summer, but I think another company might manage that. So there it is, an icky story of Donald learning how to acquire free media. But I'm informed that's a very nice ice skating rink. Thank you always for the years of the new synthesis and swearing. No pod pet tax. I'm petless lately.
Okay, so Donald's using charity money to pay a salary for Barry Weisselberg, his CFO's kid. That kid's turning around and spending all of his money on fucking sneakers at a store that rents property from the Trump Organization. That is the... If that's a money laundering operation, it's the lamest one I've ever heard of. But I am not surprised hearing that he's, stealing money from charity.
Seriously. Oh, God, what a schmuck.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Interesting. Thank you for that. I had no idea. All right, next up from Anonymous, pronouns she and her. It's amazing how Mary Trump fits into the pod. Crazy about the Mary episodes. Feel so personal, like we're all there with you. Love all of you. I have a correction and a swear word story. Calliope is pronounced Calliope. I wasn't here for that. When my son was 2 years, George W. Bush was president, all of a sudden he started saying fuck at the most inopportune times. So we told him he can say fuck, but he definitely cannot say George Bush. I would have to explain to everyone why a toddler was angrily stamping his foot and shouting out George Bush. All week, my first go-to is beans and cleanup. Thank you. Feels like family. For pet tax, I have tried numerous times to get a pic of Devil Cat, and this time I got close. She's a major communicator. Thanks, AG and DG and Amy, for all you do to keep me informed so I don't sound stupid. Meow. Look at the kitty.
Devil Cat, indeed. Beautiful, though. She is beautiful.
Meow.
All right. We are ending with some swears.
Yay.
This is from Lori. Pronoun she and her. I would love to share some swears. Batshit banana pants. As in, the tangerine treason weasel is tweeting again, and it is more batshit banana pants than usual. The next one, shit goblin, as in Matt Gaetz is an abominable shit goblin, and I hope he goes to prison. And the last one, anthropomorphic wet farts, as in Ted Cruz, you are a fucking anthropomorphic wet fart, and I'd like to vanish that swarmy look off your face.
Oh my God, yeah, I would also like to vanish it. Anthropomorphic
so
wet fart, yeah, that reminds me of hippopotamic landmass, which comes from, you know, your favorite movie and mine, The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where he's like, well, do you want me to send you back to where I found you? Unemployed in Greenland. I did not pay you to think, you hippopotamic landmass. I had to look it up, and it's a wonderful phrase. And
oh, he's so good. It's such a great movie.
Anybody want a peanut?
Stop rhyming. I mean it.
Okay. And then he says, we'll reach the cliffs by dawn. And there's no rhyme. And I'm upset every time. Oh, look, I just did one. Okay. Anyway, everyone, thanks for submitting these. This is absolutely wonderful. If you have a rhyme you would like to add to We'll Reach the Cliffs by Dawn, please feel free to send it in. It would make my life complete. And of course, anything else that you want to send in, you can do it at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. This has been a really, really fun, wonderful show. I appreciated it. So thank you, Dana.
Indeed. Thank you. And thank Marie Bamford as well.
She's just such a gem.
She is.
All right. Anything final before we get out?
I got nothing. Let's do this.
All right. All right. Well, everybody, please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Take care of your mental health and take care of the planet. I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the beans.
Refried beans. I like refried
beans.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis' first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, show me in a courtroom how we were at war.
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing in the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, if I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized.
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.